gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It is written, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to usward. It is written, and we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. It is written, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?
For God is just a prayer away.
Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find that second rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? Paul gives the answer to this question when he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Sometimes it disturbs us greatly to see the news that a judge has let a child molester get off with less a sentence than apparently he deserves. In a similar way, it seems that God has cut us an awful lot of slack as sinners. When Jesus died on the cross, God did not spare his own son. God did not cut him any slack. Nothing was done to make it easy. No pity was shown. So Paul asked this question, what then shall we say to these things? Look at what goes before the question. No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The devil likes to quote part of that verse. The devil quotes it like this, there is therefore now no condemnation. He has convinced millions that this is the way it is. No condemnation for anyone. Everyone who dies goes to heaven. I have noted the death of some notorious sinners and then heard people say that he is looking down at us right now from heaven. God is too good to send anybody to hell. Actually, that verse says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, how did you get in? If you are in the house, how did you get in? If you are in the car, how did you get in? Paul says in Galatians 3, as many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. That is how you get into Christ. But Paul says in Colossians, Christ is in us. That's a paradox. How can we be in Christ and Christ be in us at the same time? Well, if we are in Christ, that reminds us of justification. And Christ in us reminds us of sanctification. It is God that justifies us because we are in Christ. And Christ in us is the hope of glory. What then shall we say to these things? Then how about life and death? For the mind of the flesh is death, and the mind of the spirit is life and peace. The big difference in the Christian and the non-Christian is the fact that the non-Christian is dead, and the Christian is alive. Sometimes we get the idea from the non-Christian that Christianity is for losers. Being a Christian is a miserable way to live. Being a Christian is someone who doesn't have any fun. Actually, it's the other way around. It is the playboy who is dead, the drunkard who is dead, the drug addict who is dead. The Christian is alive. That is what life is all about. As a Christian, I live in the penthouse of life. I'm on the top floor. I'm having a ball. The non-Christian is living in the cellar. No windows. Living in the dark. What a miserable way to live. The invitation of the Christian to the non-Christian is, come on, get a life. What then shall we say to these things? How about being led by the Spirit? Verse 14 says, as many of you as were led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Ladies and gentlemen, as human beings, we are not led by instinct like the animals. The birds don't take a vote as to how many think it would be a good idea to fly south for the winter. We are led by the Spirit as to what is right or wrong. Everyone is led by a spirit, however. Sometimes people are led by the spirit of the devil. The Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and through the teaching of the Scripture, we are led to become sons of God. On the day of Pentecost, we are told that when the apostles preached, they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. When they heard that they had crucified the Lord, they asked, what then should we do? Peter, led by the Spirit of God, told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those who obey are led by the Holy Spirit and are called sons of God. What then shall we say to these things? Then how about the witness of the Spirit in verse 16? The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. But remember, the leading of the Spirit is not subjective. It's not just how you feel inside. Some say, I know I am saved because I feel that I am saved. This is true if your spirit is led by the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Scripture. One man said one time as he thumped his chest, I would not trade the feeling I have in my heart for all the Bibles in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, God no longer speaks to us by dreams and visions and how we feel about things. In these last days, he has spoken unto us through his Son. His Son sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles in giving us the New Testament gospel. When your spirit agrees with the Spirit of God, you have the testimony that you are indeed a child of God. Verse 17 says that since we are children of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. John says in the last chapter of Revelation, "Blessed are they that wash their robes, for they have a right to come to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city." What then shall we say to these things? How about thinking about the resurrected body? Verse 22 and 23 tell us, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. And not only so, but we also ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, the redemption of the body." The earth groans. Think of the earthquake and the spewing of lava from volcanoes. The earth groans, waiting for its redemption. Paul said in Hebrews, "Thou, Lord, didst lay the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou continuest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment." And ladies and gentlemen, we also as humans groan. Sooner or later, we will all cry out in pain, if no more than to bend over and say, "Oh, my aching back." So we wait for the redemption of our bodies. As long as we are in this body, we will have trouble with sin and the devil. Not until this body is redeemed at the resurrection will we be free from the carnal desires of the flesh. John said, "When the Lord appears, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be made like him." We anxiously await the redemption of the body. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." What then shall we say to these things? Verse 24 says, "In hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopeth for that which he seeth?" We are saved by hope. How much hope do you have of going to heaven? The answer to those questions is the fact that we don't have too much hope, because we only have one hope. We don't have two hopes or three hopes or a dozen hopes. You only have one hope of going to heaven. One hope or one chance is all there is. Paul says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye were called, in one hope of your calling." You have only one hope of going to heaven. Without Jesus, you have no other hope to fall back on. Peter tells us, "There is therefore now none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And Jesus said, "No one cometh unto the Father but by me." Again, Paul told Titus that we look for the blessed hope and appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our only hope. In Dante's Inferno, according to his imagery, there is a sign over the doorway of hell, a sign that says, "Lose hope, all you who enter here." Hell is the place of no hope. What then shall we say to these things? And then notice the answer to prayer. "Likewise, the Spirit helpeth us with our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We don't know how to pray. One reason we don't know how to pray is because we do not always understand what the mind of God is. So the Holy Spirit helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes we, not knowing what to pray, will pray a crooked prayer. The Holy Spirit takes that crooked prayer and hammers it out on the anvil of faith and straightens it out, and then lays it before the throne of grace. God then hears our prayer, not as we prayed it, but as we should have prayed it. What then shall we say to these things? And then how about that famous verse 28 that tells us, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, even to them that are the called according to his purpose. All the big things, all the little things, all the sweet things, all the sour things, all things work together for good. Not as we planned it, or not as we want it, but all things work together for good. He did not say you would not get sick. He said if you did, it worked together for good. He did not say you would not get fired. He said it would work together for good. He did not say you would not be born handicapped. He said if it happens, all things work together for good. Perhaps we say, how could all my misfortune work together for good? I don't have the slightest idea. You'll have to take that up with the Lord God. At the end of life, I'm sure, you will know the answer. Not now, but in the coming years, it may be in the better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. We know now why the clouds, instead of sun, were over many a cherished plan. The song that ceased when scarce begun, it's there sometime we'll understand. God knows the way, he holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometime with tearless eye we'll see. Yes, there, up there, we'll understand. What then shall we say to these things? Then how about predestination? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many creatures. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Some folk believe that God has predestined and foreordained everything. It is already prearranged that certain people will go to hell and certain people will go to heaven. The elect that the Scripture speaks about have been elected by God to go to heaven, and the rest elected to be lost forever. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as there is a whosoever will in the Bible, I have something to say about my salvation. As long as there is a statement in the second chapter of Acts that tells where Peter said, save yourselves from this crooked generation, I have something to say about my salvation. It is true, however, that we are elected to go to heaven or hell. In this election for eternity, God votes for you, and the devil votes against you, and then you cast the deciding vote. Whosoever will may come, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Some people, like the woman that told me one time, she believed in predestination. Everything is prearranged and happens according to plan. She said, I believe what will be, even if it never comes to pass. Again, one preacher who believed that God predestinates some to heaven and some to hell was visiting a preacher who did not believe that. That preacher had a large dog in his yard that moved toward the predestination preacher and growled. The preacher called to the other preacher and said, call off that dog, he's going to bite me. The other preacher said, that dog has been foreordained and predestined before time and eternity began to either bite you or not bite you. I really don't know which it is, and I am not going to call that dog off and interfere in the Lord's business. Those who are predestined to go to heaven are all those who have heard the gospel, believe it, repent of their sins, and are immersed for the Christian and immersed for the remission of sins and live the Christian life until death. If you are one of those, you are one of the elect. You have been elected to go to heaven, and you will win by a landslide. What then shall we say to these things? Now this final word. In conclusion, Paul asks another question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He mentions some great separators. He says that neither death nor life can separate us from the love of Christ. Actually, death draws the Christian closer to Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Again, Paul says, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is very far better. Remember also how Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Death cannot separate us from the love of Christ. It even helps the situation. He says that neither things present nor things to come can separate us from the love of God. The passing of time does not alter His love. No matter what the changes will be, love remains the same. I personally lived in the remnants of the horse and buggy days, and now in the days of jet plane travel, His love is still the same. His plan of salvation is the same as when I wrote with a fountain pen, just as much now when I write on a computer keyboard. Times have changed, but His love remains the same. Times have changed. My phone number in the early days of my ministry was 57. There was no area code or zip code. You could reach me from any place in the country by calling the operator and asking for 57 Lynchburg, Ohio. You didn't have to dial. You talked to a real live operator. I remember when the name of all the operators was the same. Her name was Central. You picked up the phone and rang, not dialed, and a voice answered and you said, Hello, Central, and then gave her the number you wanted to call. Today we have cell phones, pagers, email, and a voicemail, fax numbers, other gadgets. Instant communication. But the love of God is still the same. You don't need a cell phone, a pager, or a voicemail number to keep in touch with God. For God is just a prayer away. The passing of time has not changed His word or His love. Paul also said that neither heights nor depths could separate us from the love of God. Think of it. Heights cannot separate us from Christ. This broadcast comes to thousands by satellite. First, it goes way up there in space and bounces off a satellite and is heard on the other side of the world. In that case, heights do not separate, but helps us show the love of Christ to man who would not have heard the gospel of Christ otherwise. One of the devices of the devil is to make heights separate the human race from the love of Christ in the bogus science of astrology. How many times have you heard people ask the devilish question, What sign were you born under? As though our lives are governed by stars. The Christian is free from such superstition and can boldly declare, I was born again under the sign of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And ever since, I have been in orbit around the bright and morning star. Nothing can alter the love of Christ. His love is the same. Heaven is the same. It is still the future home of the Christian. Hell is the same. It is still as hot as ever. His plan of salvation is the same. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation, the address. Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.